It is well with my soul. I believe I would even agree with Bill Gaither in the song that he wrote and said, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come." If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 4. As we think about mothers this morning and all of their many responsibilities, who could number them all, right? I think we all would agree that mothers have a task, as a list that is quite lengthy. If you were to look over into Proverbs 31, there's a whole litany of things that a mother does and what's called a virtuous woman. And it even asks the question, who can find such a virtuous woman, for her price is far above that of a ruby. I haven't looked recently, but the last time I had looked, that rubies are quite expensive, and even the smallest of rubies is an astronomical amount of money that most people, I would say most all people around here, probably could not afford. But nonetheless, when we find that virtuous woman, oh, what a price it is and what a blessing it is to have one. And a mother is certainly beyond any price that could be tagged. And so who could number all of their responsibilities? Yet we know that mothers are equipped for this task, that God has given them that ability. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to go back to the time of creation where God created all of this that is, and the motherhood and her responsibilities and the first command that God gave there to Adam and Eve. And then you add on to the responsibilities of that, as we'll find here in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, in the midst of all of the things that a mother already has to deal with, we find where this widow has to deal with just that, being alone. Being alone and have no husband no longer, and even to the point of what we would call in modern times bankruptcy. Modern times where we would say they've lost everything because the husband is gone. 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go, borrow three vessels abroad for of thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, that the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest." Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful, God, that you are a God of providence, that you are a God that supplies all needs. Lord, we again thank you for the mothers that we have in our lives. God, we're thankful for this passage that we've read this morning, where we know that you will take care of us even in the darkest times of our lives. And Father, I pray that you would hide me behind that blessed cross, Lord, that these folks not see me, but that they would see you. Speak to our hearts today. Save that one that is lost. Bring that one that is backslidden to repentance. And Lord, for whatever you do here this morning, We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to title the message this morning, The Woman Who Struck Oil at Home. The Woman Who Struck Oil at Home.
Am I on now? There we go. Sorry about that. Did y'all hear the introduction? Do I need to do that again? Just kidding. I will if we need to. But nonetheless, the mother who struck oil at home. This mother, as we find in verse 1, knew where to go in the time of need. You know, that is something that that is a blessing in itself for a mother to know where she needs to go for the help that she needs. And we find here where this was a preacher's widow, a wife of the scripture says, is one of the sons of the prophets. And he was a departed preacher. He was one who had passed, and he must have been a man of great faith. He served under Elisha. He had to have been fearless. He didn't have any money, yet he was probably a stern prophet serving that he did under Elisha. Must have been hardworking for the fact that he died so young. And so we find that there are problems here in this passage as well, that death and debts, those are two things, two great burdens in life. Even as it was in the Old Testament times, it was in the New Testament times, it is even to today's times, two great burdens in life. The creditor comes, the scripture tells us, to foreclose on what would be their property and takes the boys there that they have, the two children, to be bondsmen. And the widow quickly went to seek the wisdom and help of God. Isn't that great this morning? Knowing that she knew that when all else fails, God has never failed. So blessed is the mother who knows where to go when her family is in need. It's much like over in Proverbs 31. Again, you can read this. We've probably read it countless times in our lifetime, but you find that virtuous woman who knows when to sell, when to buy. She knows how to clothe the seasons to start preparing for the season that is ahead. She knows all of these things. And when there is a need in life, she knows where to go, and that is God. This mother knew where to go in time of need. Verses 2 through verse 4. This mother found the need that she had was right there in her home. Isn't it something how oftentimes we seek out what we need in all the wrong places? We search for things in this world. We go and we try to find other avenues in life, and we try to find the answers on our own, and most of the time, the answers are what we need is right where we are. And so it was here. This mother had found the answer to her need, and it was right in her home this whole time. Elisha, considering her problem, he asked the question, "What shall I tell thee? What shall I tell thee?" And a searching question, "What do you have at your house?" And I'm sure that this woman was thinking, well, I have nothing. That's why I'm here. They're coming to take everything what I do have away from me. We're about to lose it all. What do you have at your house? That is a good question for all mothers today. What do you have at home? A husband who loves you? Food enough for today? Money for this week's groceries? This mother had none of these things. And so oftentimes when things get bad and we start to maybe look for a way out, right? We made that so simple in society today. If things don't work out in marriages today, and as I have said with some in conversation before, yes, there are reasons for divorce. There are absolutely some reasons for divorce. And I can't condemn a divorce without knowing all of the circumstances surrounding it. But so many people today, especially the younger generation, if it don't work out, we'll write a check for $400 to an attorney and it'll all be over. Right? That's how simple it is today. What do we have at home? Have a loving husband. Husband, do you have a loving wife? Perhaps if we don't have that, maybe we should pray for that. And I don't want to be over religious with you this morning and you say, well, the preacher has to say that because he's a preacher. That's not the fact. The fact is that if we would just learn to pray. You know, I've said before, if we want a better church, pray for the one you've got. You want a better pastor, pray for the one you've got. You want a better a pianist or a teacher or whatever the case may be, pray for the one you've got. You want a better husband? Pray for the one you've got. You want a better wife? Pray for the one you have. Go a step further. You want better children? Pray for the ones you have. We live in such an easy society where we look for, when things get rough, the way out. Let's just get out. Pray for what we have. The negative answer here. This woman answered and said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything." Notice the sequence here. She came to Elisha. She knew the debtors were coming. She knew that foreclosure was imminent. She knew that her sons were about to be taken away from her. She was about to lose everything. Without hesitation, she went to the prophet of God and sought after God. And the prophet asked of her, "What do you have?" And her answer was an immediate, didn't go look, didn't go searching out. Her immediate answer was, "I don't have anything. I don't have nothing." And yet we find here where she did have something. And sometimes this is the attitude that people have today. And those people with these attitudes, "I have nothing," are some of the most miserable people in society. When we have nothing, most oftentimes we have everything, right? We have everything. Others get new things and then they'll declare, "I'm deprived, I have nothing." And so we'll go buy more new things and I'm still deprived, I have nothing. That poor me attitude. Back home in Oxford, I remember when Oxford wasn't as Oxford is today. I remember when it was just a town of like, maybe 8,000 people, maybe. And that may be stretching it. I remember where there wasn't condominiums and apartment complexes on every street corner. And you go to Oxford today and what do you have? It's like nothing but housing, right? It's buildings everywhere, businesses everywhere, churches everywhere, housings everywhere, new cars galore. And I look at that and I think, and there's nothing wrong with a new house and a new car and all these things. Don't misunderstand me. But so many people live, if I can't have this, then I have nothing. It's no longer okay and acceptable in society to live in that two-bedroom home. Oh, that's not big enough, right? It's no longer acceptable to have that small car or SUV. No, I've got to have the biggest of the big. I drove by a car lot the other day, and of course, I'm not interested in a new car at all. Never have been my thing, but I know dealing in the business that I deal in, we've had to purchase new cars down throughout the times, and I can remember where, you know, the price tag on the car even then was a little steep. But have you checked new car prices today? They are ridiculous, right? A full-size truck is going to run you like $70,000 today. And I'm thinking, my Lord, where does that come from? It doesn't take that much to build those, right? And I saw all these cars on these car lots. I'm like, my gracious, you know, poor me. Poor me. And then on the flip side, you see this car. I got past... literally passed by a car that probably ran better than my vehicle does. with no bumper on the front, only three hubcaps, none of the tires matched, paint all kinds of colors. And I'm thinking, you know, that person, to them, that's their everything. Poor me. And then the startling discovery here. This woman who said, I have absolutely nothing. And then the prophet says, save a little pot of oil. That's all I've got. Just a little bit. And notice what this prophet does. This was a positive move. This is literally an anointing of oil. It's a very minute amount that she has left. This was her turning point in life. And it brings the question to mind, how long has it been since you counted your blessings? We live in a very materialistic society. There's no denying that. But how long has it been since you thanked God for that meal on your table? Since you thanked God for that car, or maybe even multiple cars under your garage, for the roof over your head? To thank God for that. Rediscovering the house and the family and the furniture and the love that is there in that home. And this is the answer for lifting your burdens. And it may be right at your house. And then notice in verses 4 through 7 that this mother found that the possibilities are unlimited when you allow God to use what you have. When you allow God to use what you have. Heeding the message that Elisha gave to her and in great faith, involving her sons in the act of faith. You know, she told them, go and fetch, sent them borrowing other people's vessels, thinking big, borrow not just a few of them, but go get whatever you can get your hands on. Because she knew that God was going to do a great work. And she was expecting the answer. I've said this before in times past, and I say it again because it's a great opportunity, right? When was the last time we came expecting God to do something? Oh, a lot of times we have our routines in the mornings, right? Monday through Friday, or maybe Monday through Saturday, depending on what you do for a living. Every day you get up at a certain time, right? You take care of whatever it is you take care of in the mornings. You go to work. You work your job. You come home in the afternoons. You take care of your afternoon duties, whatever that may be. You go to bed. You get up the next day. You start this routine all over again, right? It's just the way we do it. We are very methodological people. We have methods. We have ways we do things. And Sunday is just one of those days we get up and we go to church, right? We go to church, we know we're going to sing for a few moments, 15, 20, maybe 30, depending on the service. The preacher's got to preach, he's going to give announcements, we're going to have prayer requests, and we're going to go home. We're going to go eat lunch, right? Whatever the case may be. We don't ever get out of the norm. When was the last time we expected God to do something, where we pray, God, show up in our church service today. God, make a move in our church today. God, send a revival in our church today. Send revival in our community today. Send a revival in our state today. Amen. Our country, our world. Say, preacher, things like that don't happen anymore. Probably because we don't expect it to happen. We need another awakening. We need another great revival to sweep the land. And this woman expected an answer. And so she went big. Don't borrow just a few. Get your hands on whatever you can get your hands on. And the doors closed. Always found it interesting how in this passage that it mentions those doors being closed. And I'm just going to spiritualize this for a moment if I may. Can you imagine the thrill that may have happened at this point? When they closed them doors and knowing that they had everything that they needed in that house and believed God for whatever it was they was needing, and God took what she had and multiplied it, filling all of those borrowed vessels up. It makes me think of another door that was closed. You remember back in Genesis where there was a great flood that happened? And this crazy prophet of God by the name of Noah was out in the middle of a desert building a boat, right? The townspeople thought he was insane, right? They're in the middle of a drought, in the middle of a desert. Why are you building a boat? And the prophet kept saying, the rain is coming and a flood will destroy this earth. That preacher was crazy, right? But I wonder what the thoughts were as the raindrops began to fall. And as that door of that boat was closed, not to be opened by the hands of man again. And as that water became perhaps ankle deep, the townspeople probably was questioning, maybe that preacher wasn't so crazy after all. And as it got waist deep, how they were pounding on the boat's door, let me in, let me in, have mercy on me, let us in, save us, right? But it was too late. Can I say to you this morning that the door is open currently, but there will be a time when the door is closed. And all this crazy preacher has ever preached will be on the back burner of your mind. They expected the answer. The doors were closed. They were thrilled knowing that God was about to do something. And God took what she had. He multiplied it, filling all of these. You know, what would God do with what you have? Remember Moses' rod that parted the sea? Imagine what God can do for you. Remember David's sling as he was facing a giant? Just a slingshot and three rocks, and he took down the giant. Remember the little boy's lunch over in the New Testament, where all he had was some fish and a loaf of bread, and it ended up feeding thousands of people. God can take what you have. Whatever you have is enough for God to use. Whatever situation you are in this morning, God can take what you have and make it right. I'll pose the same question to you this morning. What do you have in your house? God can use it. A.B. Simpson said this: our God has boundless resources, and the only limit is in us. Our asking, our thinking, our praying are too small. Our expectations are too limited. Our God has boundless resources. Can I encourage you this morning to reach out to God? His love is boundless. His mercy is boundless. And He is saying, come to me. Mothers, perhaps you have children that you don't know what to do with, right? Those children that sometimes will make you question why you had children, right? I've seen some in the stores, Walmart and whatnot, and I'm like, my mom would not allow that to happen, right? So total different generation today. But I encourage you to have faith and to reach out to God with whatever need it is that you have today. Not just mothers, but all people. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we'll extend just one verse of an invitation. I never like to close a service without giving opportunity for you to do business with God. Perhaps it's salvation. Maybe it's rededication. Maybe you just simply need to thank God for the blessings in your life. We have much to be thankful for. Amen. So as we stand together and sing.